This is Paul Lutensky. Today's date is November 20th, 1972. The time is 2 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. Ellis L. Merkley, manager of the Temple Theater, 203 North Washington Road in Saginaw. Topics to be discussed are Saginaw theaters of the 40s, audience changes through the years, the closing of Saginaw's theaters, and the future of those theaters. Mr. Merkley has been associated with the film business for most of his life. Between 1916 and 1925, he worked with film distributing firms, and in 1925 became manager of the Ramsdell Theater in his hometown of Manistee. In 1927, he joined the W.S. Butterfield Organization and held several managerial positions until he moved to Saginaw in March of 1942 as manager of the Temple Theater. He has been here ever since. Now, at the present time, Mr. Merkley, there are, the temple and then the court, and that's all there are in the city, right?
Well, that's all the hard tops, but right. You've got your three X-rated houses,
but
you don't want to talk about that either.
Okay. Now, you came here in 42.
Right.
How many theaters were there then?
17.
Were they just, was there any in more in one area than the other, or were they federally distributed, or?
Well, they were fairly evenly divided. Now, on the east side was the James and the Royal, which is out South Jefferson. Nice theater. Senate on East Genesee, small, not too deluxe. And you had the Gem on 6th Street and the State Theater on Potter. It's down in 3rd Ward. And then, of course, you had your downtown theater. Well, you had the Michigan, too, on the east side. Forgot that. And downtown, of course, we had the Franklin, the Temple, the Franklin, the Mecca, and the Center. And now we go to the west side. We had the Wolverine over there, which was a Butterfield Theater. And there was a Washington on South Washington, relatively small and inconspicuous, not of the little ox type. And then you had the Mara Theater, was nice, very nice. And the Court Theater, was very nice. Did I mention the James Theater on James? I guess I did, didn't I? Very nice theaters, 17 in all.
Now, were there any, I know they weren't all as big or as nice as the Temple. Now, were there some that were? What was the range in quality really?
We had what we call first run theaters. The Temple, of course, was the flagship, and very nice, and always has been. And the Franklin was a very lovely theater. And then you went to the neighborhoods, and of the neighborhood theaters, I would say the Daniel was a beautiful theater. I don't know whether I mentioned that. Now, that's out on State Street, and a fairly good sized theater, 900 seats. And the Mara Theater was very nice, and nice appointments along with the Court and the Royal in a smaller degree. They were very nice. Naturally, they couldn't be quite as sumptuous as the Temple. Mm-hmm. But then you had your others, of course, like the North Side, which you mentioned before our interview, small, but people went there. We all played the same pictures. They started downtown, and then after a certain length of time, where they gravitate to the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. These are so-called first-run houses, like the Temple and the Franklin, and the Mecca.
And
basically, at that time.
Basically, then they all showed the same films, only there was a time lapse.
Time lapse. That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Basically, now the theaters are sometimes like the State Theater on Potter Street, the Gem. They played sometimes more of the action type of pictures. Mm-hmm. And that was true downtown. The Mecca played more of the action type pictures, and they catered to that audience. Mm-hmm. While the Temple and the Franklin did not. We played the big pictures, and some, of course, were action, but some houses, theaters, specialized in just the action type motion picture and catered to that audience.
Mm-hmm. Did they have the audience there? I mean,
they must have. Business was fine. Mm-hmm.
Was there any really stiff competition between theaters, or was there enough audience to go around? Did they have to?
Well, you wouldn't call it competition, no, because it was pretty well much of a pattern. The downtown first, and then in due time, after a lapse, well, they would play the neighborhood, sometimes maybe 28 days. That was the prescribed number of days, 28 days. And then they would play the Michigan, and then they would play the Court, the Mar, the Royal, the Daniel. Competition, no, because they could not compete with the first run because they couldn't pay as much money. Mm-hmm. That is what governs everything. Naturally, just like in the case of big pictures, they play some of them, the big roadshow picture, play Detroit, and they run advertisements in the Saginaw News. They try to get as many people in, and then after that is all through, then they are released to towns and cities of this side. And it was true locally, first here, then to the lesser houses.
I'd like to get back a little bit on the smaller theaters. I gather that then, as opposed to the Temple, which was when originally built, was built to also accommodate live performances, and along with the Franklin. Of course, the smaller ones were built strictly to show films.
Yes.
Now, did this affect the way it was built? I mean, was the quality different? Was the quality that much different because of this? That much lower?
I don't think so. I think it was just different style of architecture. Now, the Franklin had a stage. I think the Daniel had a stage, and sometimes played some things occasionally. Mm-hmm. But the Court and all these others were strictly motion picture theaters. Each. Well, you can well imagine how much money that would be. Yeah. They were nice theaters in those days. Probably the same theater today would cost many times that amount of money. Yeah. But it's a pretty hard thing to describe the difference in quality of construction. This was a deluxe house. It was the show place, as I advertised it, in northeastern Michigan. We could handle anything, stage shows, huge stage, can handle any type of stage show. We've had shows like Oklahoma, which used the full stage. Every set of lines we had, we had Hello Dolly, which was sponsored by Delta. Mm-hmm. A magnificent show, and used every bit of stage room we had, but we still accommodated them and did a beautiful job, which was utterly impossible in the smaller houses to do anything like that. We were a different operation. We played a lot of stage bands when they were, and countless road shows.
Yeah.
I think one season I had 8 in 1 year, and interspersed with that were vaudeville type shows, bands with acts out in front. Of course, we don't do that much anymore.
Yeah, that's true. excuse me. With the smaller theaters, as compared to, say, the Temple, Was there a difference in the type of audience you would get then, in between the Temple and one of the smaller theaters?
I don't think so. But I was talking to Mr. Bramer, who managed the Michigan for some years, and he took a survey one time to find out where his patrons came from, mm-hmm. and he says at least 80 to 90% of them came from right around the area of the Michigan Theater. Well, the Temple drew from the whole city. But there were certain neighborhood theaters that I think that catered primarily to people in their neighborhoods. Maybe an occasional excursion downtown to see something that they wanted to see. But basically, audiences are about the same.
As long as we're on audiences, then. Was there a...
Well, at that time, the audiences were mixed. We had a lot of older people going to movies, and the way of life. We were talking about before the advent of television. It's a was a way, a weekly habit. It was a habit. We had people that came every, but they weren't here. I wondered if they were ill. Yeah. I have several in mind that I can mention, if not important. But when television came in, of course, and it became easier for the older people to sit home and be entertained, and instead of dressing up and going out, well, they stayed home. But what many people did, an evening out, dinner, and then a theater, and it filled the whole evening. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice way to spend it.
Do you think there are fewer people doing that then today?
No, it's all gone. It's all gone. Older people are practically a lost audience, with the exception of some pictures. You know, we come along with a picture like Fiddler on the Roof. And that attracted to a very large extent older people that liked that sort of entertainment. It's a totally different audience. Our main audience today is primarily young people, with a sprinkling of older folks, but primarily majority are young people who don't want to stay home. In other words, a fellow on a date doesn't want to spend it at his girl's home looking at television with the old folks.
Yeah.
So that is a plus in favor of the theater, if you've got what they want to see.
Mm-hmm. It would seem then that perhaps the number of younger people in the audience would probably stay about the same throughout the years, but then your old, the number of older people has been dropping off.
Yes.
So then have the audiences in general then just want to...
Except on some pictures.
Right. Okay.
That in all cases, no?
Right,
because,
okay.
You take pictures like The Godfather, it attracted everybody except children. It was not a children's picture. Mm-hmm. But many pictures... Well, for instance, I can give you a good case in point. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It had all the ingredients that go to make good entertainment. It had everything. So we got the older people, and we got the younger people, and the kids. It was just a full, had all the components. Mm-hmm. Action, comedy, good acting, scenery, good music. And when you get something like that, well, your audience is large because it includes everybody.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that that with the advent of television, the audiences did, of course, drop.
Yeah.
How hard did Saginaw really get hit by that, Saginaw Theater?
Well, not only Saginaw, but everywhere. Of course, television came in the early 50s, I think. And gradually, its impact was felt first by the smaller theaters around town. And they gradually began to disappear one by one. And for the same reason, that a lot of their patronage was older folks, and they sat home, and that was a big factor that started attracting the theaters, attracting fewer people. But there were occasions even then when the theaters had something they wanted to see.
Would you say then that the main reason for the small theater closings was television?
It's one of the big factors. And then as time went on, we found too that there were so many other recreational activities, such as bowling became a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even today you have women bowling teams and children's kids are bowling. And then skiing became a big winter sport. And snowmobiles, all sorts of these things, all of them attract a certain number of people easily.
Do you remember the first theater that closed after you got here?
One of our theaters?
Either one of yours or...
I don't remember. I don't know.
When they did start closing, there was a fair door, once they did start closing?
Well, you take in the case of the Court and the James, who were sold and then resold, and the new owners found it. Well, they didn't start to go until television came in, because We were all active during the post-war years. Everybody did well. I don't know which one closed first. I know the Court Theater closed once, and then a new man took it over, and it's been going very well ever since, because he's a thoroughgoing theater operator. Had one in Bay City and the Court. And our theater started closing. I think the Wolverine, I think that was in early 1953, that closed. Then the Center Theater closed next, that was in 53. The Mecca in 54. And the Michigan, I think that closed in 61. Mm-hmm. 1961, yeah. We had it, that is when I came here, 1942 to 1961. I had supervision over all of the Butterfield theaters. And then last, of course, is the Franklin. Mm-hmm. We had six. First the Wolverine, Center, Mecca, Michigan, and the Franklin.
I want to get into that, yeah. A little bit about Franklin and Michigan and Temple in particular a little later. There's one thing I wanted to ask you before and I forgot. In reading clippings in that, in the Saginaw News files, you get the impression that especially the Michigan, the Temple, and the Franklin were originally built, they were really high-class, first-rate theaters.
True.
Now, was that uncommon for a town of Saginaw size, or were most at that time, or most towns of that size, the most towns of that size have two or three really high-class theaters
like that?
Did you think Saginaw realized how good these theaters were?
Beg pardon?
Do you think the people of Saginaw realized exactly how what they had, in other words?
I don't know. I came from Lansing here, and in Lansing we had two beautiful downtown theaters, and we had State Theater in East Lansing, all fine theaters, and the Gladmer and the Michigan Theater in Lansing were beautiful stages and handled stages. I think we were as typical and about the same as any other city of this size in the kind of theaters that we had. It was a general pattern. In those days, when stage shows were in vaudeville were going, there was always one top theater that played vaudeville and pictures. In Flint's another case in point. I was in Flint in 1927. We had the Capitol downtown that played vaudeville. We had the Palace downtown, which played stock companies stage. We had the Garden Theater, which played straight pictures. And the Region Theater, straight pictures. It was a diversified type of entertainment. Capital and Flint compared favorably with the Temple Theaters, and we both had the same type of policy.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to, I mentioned before, getting the Temple and the Franklin, and well, sort of the Michigan, because one of the questions I have mentioned the Michigan Theater, so that's where that comes in. The Franklin closed just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And In reading these clippings and that, I came across a letter to the editor from July of 59, and the writer was complaining that the Franklin was going down the way the Michigan did, and that as far as audience behavior, and she sort of left the impression that something really terrible happened with the Michigan. I mean, so what I want to find out is what really did happen with the Michigan.
I don't know. I'm not aware of that. I don't think anything happened to the Michigan except that the audiences became unprofitable, a number of them. Obviously, nobody closes a theater that's making money.
True.
So, or close any business that's making money, so that's got to be. The Franklin had a few problems, Sunday afternoons particularly, but I don't think any major consequence. And I certainly am not aware of any trouble at the Michigan any more than any theater had in those days. And mm-hmm. when you played pictures that attracted children, and actually when you got children, you've got to a degree, if you got a lot of them, you've got sort of mass confusion.
Right, right. This is jumping back again, but I wanted to ask this before, and I forgot. That's two I forgot. This is again going back a little farther. Could you draw an audience with just about any kind of film, original, like in the 40s, say? I mean, did the film have to be really good to get an audience?
Not like it does today, nowhere near. Mm-hmm. But you did much better on pictures in those days, like, well, for example, Going My Way and Bells at St. Mary's were two standouts with Bing Crosby. And the bigger pictures obviously did more than mm-hmm. others. But I must say that you could, in those days, do more business because of movie-going being a habit with a bad picture than you sometimes do today in one that's got a lot of merit.
Do you think there's anything there ever has been or is now, anything unique or different about Saginaw that affects the type of movies that people like to see?
Not a bit.
Not a bit?
No.
Is that sort of a
only to this degree that Saginaw is an industrial town. And Flint is an industrial town. We are different than Collegetown. We're different than Ann Arbor. We're different than Lansing because of Michigan State. We're different than Kalamazoo. Other than that, we're the same as any other.
Yeah. Okay, now, back to what I was talking about before I brought that up. It seemed as though, to me, I kind of watched the ads in the paper, the movie ads, and that that for a while there, for several months before the Franklin actually closed, that they were not getting the best pictures. Like if you looked at the picture that the Temple was showing, the picture the Franklin was showing, you would get the impression that possibly the Temple was showing the better picture. Is this actually what happened?
That has been true in recent years, but there was a time, as a matter of fact, as late as 3 years ago, when the Franklin was playing many of the big pictures. As a matter of fact, they played more of the big pictures than we did. They played pictures like Sound of Music, mm-hmm. Dr. Zhivago, and Oliver, Funny Girl, countless big pictures. They played The Graduate, which was a big grocer. So that has not been true through the years. They had their fair share of good pictures, and sometimes more. And people came to see them.
Now, when you, in, what, 58 or something, I got it written down and I can't find it. When you originally came, you were manager of the Temple, and then you became manager of the Butterfield Theaters in Saginaw.
Well, when I came here, I was, not too long after I came here, I was appointed city manager for Butterfield. And I took care of that job and matters pertaining to the theaters as a whole.
Now, then would you be the one that decides, or does someone in the organization decide which theater shows what film?
No, I have nothing to do with that. We have a booking department in Detroit, headed by a man who makes arrangements to play the pictures and also where they will play, not only in this town, but in all of our towns.
Mm-hmm. So that there'd be no saying, well, let's see, this theater is situated over here so we could get maybe a different audience, so that sort of thing.
Pretty much of a pattern. In other words, the same pictures play here, play Flint, Kalamazoo, everywhere. Mm-hmm. The only difference today that we have a little bit different situation. We have drive-ins that we didn't have. I meant to mention that. That was another factor that took away from the downtown theaters and the smaller theaters. We had drive-ins open up. But that, too, again, is a different audience.
Right.
They could load the kids in the car, children free, and that too is a factor. Mm-hmm.
Do you think when the drive-ins started coming, did that cut down your business too then? Did that cut down your business then when the drive-ins came in?
To some extent.
Uh-huh. Okay, I want to get a couple more things on the Franklin in particular. Now, you said that you had no jurisdiction over which film you showed in which theater.
Right.
Is that correct? Then I was. But then my next question was kind of. I was going to ask then when you realized that you would be closing the Franklin, if that affected the films you showed there.
No. Well, that decision was made fairly not too long before it actually closed.
Mm-hmm. Then, I should have asked you the question first. How soon before it closed did you know?
Well, I think the handwriting was on the wall, frankly, when the question of the consumer's power of going out of the steam business in downtown Saginaw, it involved the installation of a heating plant and plus other factors. They all entered into the decision.
Yeah. Now, the Franklin had, for quite a while before it closed, dropped matinees. In other words, there would be just maybe two or three shows in the evening,
yeah,
and then matinees on the weekends.
They had matinees on Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Now, was that a result of the dropping business then, that you just weren't getting the audiences in the afternoon?
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
The matinee business wasn't there.
Did you?
There are exceptions to that. When they played a picture, appealed to children, like a Disney show, which they had some, then they had matinees every day, particularly if school was out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think then the Temple would ever drop matinees then?
I haven't any idea. As of now, there's no thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
There is, of course, no one can look into it. No crystal ball, I don't know what the future will bring, but I do want to say that there is very definitely a good, strong movie audience, and they will come downtown if you give them something they want to see. That can be illustrated by a children's matinee we had Saturday and Sunday called The Magic Christmas Tree, and we did tremendously well with it. Families from all over the city came in, so they will come down, but you have to have something that's exceptionally attractive, mm-hmm. as they view it.
Then people, I have heard people say that they are, quote, afraid of downtown. Do you think then that people are not afraid
of
downtown?
Well, I think maybe that's true in some cases, but I say this again, that you take pictures like The Godfather. We played 9 weeks, Love Story 8 weeks.
No, they all got along. In fact, they ran out of legal glue or something like that, they'd call me up and say, how about, come on over and help them out. That happened to finest too, you know. They run out of anything, we'd help them out.
This is an interesting point. I remember before you talked about the using of yeast, which is a byproduct of brewing.
Well, sure.
For medicinal purposes.
Oh, yes.
Could you briefly give me...
See, you have to... When your brew kettle is empty, that's merely malt extract. And then you pump it up. That was on the upper floor. You put it in these tanks. But you add the yeast. And that yeast used to multiply. My golly, you put a couple of pails of yeast in there and you get a half barrel out of it. And then... One doctor in particular that I know, he recommended yeast to people. We used to give away 50, no other brewery gave yeast away, but Phoenix did. And we used to fill 50 quart jars every week and give it to the people around here. And some people, they wouldn't be without it, but now they can't get it anymore.
So I see that they sell brewer's yeast.
That's dry yeast.
That's dry. You don't think it's as good.
Listen.